have with us today three people involved in different aspects of the food vending business. Vicki Riley is Director of Sales and Marketing of the Frozen Food Division at White Castle, a frozen food manufacturer. John Martin is Business Development Manager at Sunburst Foods in Goldsboro, North Carolina, a fresh food manufacturer. And Vic Pemberton is owner of Pepe Food Service in Bainbridge, Georgia, a vending operator who has long been active in the food business. The food segment is one of the most challenged parts of the vending business today. Our State of the Vending Industry report shows the number of food machines has been declining as the recession has decimated customer populations. Declining food sales result in fewer sales in other product segments because the food sale is usually accompanied by a beverage sale and or a snack sale. Vicki Riley of White Castle, I'm going to start with you. Your company sells frozen food to restaurants, supermarkets, and convenience stores in addition to vending operators. Vicki, given the economic reality of lower populations today, is there anything that vending operators could be doing differently to improve food sales?
One of the things that I think is that we had seen at the one show, from an equipment standpoint, the vending machine equipment, I think has got to progress. And we did see a new machine this time called Vend It Hot. And for somebody like a sandwich manufacturer or something of that sort, pizza, pockets, this machine really seemed to work very, very well. It accommodated frozen, it accommodated refrigerated, and it accommodated just regular products. And I think the innovation of something like that type of machine would really, really be helpful to the industry because it would give operators an opportunity to place that machine in more places that they ordinarily would not have. And I think that equipment is a very, very big issue in the coming years.
Okay. Has your company done any research on consumer perception of vend food?
Not specifically that, but the different types of research that we have done for different reasons for the grocery and convenience stores, et cetera, have shown that we do have quite a few people that buy food from vending and focus groups and things like that that we've had. People have been very positive about buying vend food, especially if it's frozen.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I asked Vic Pemberton of Pepe Foods to join us because, having known him for some time, I consider him a very innovative operator. Vic, have you been able to sustain your food sales?
Well, I think that when you say sustain food sales, with a declining economy and what we're seeing in the marketplace, one of the first things to go would be buying a fresh food item out of a machine or a frozen, whether it's White Castle or whatever. I mean, they go back to drinking a can of drink and a pack of crackers for break instead of eating a sandwich and getting chips and everything else. So, you know, we've seen downsizing equal to about 12%. Same-store sales down, downsizing, closures, things like that. And actually, our food sales are probably mimicking that equal to that. So, I mean, I think it'd be hard to say, you know, within all of different variables that our food sales are down. I've got a lot of items that are up and a lot of things that we're doing that are showing positive signs through our experiences, but it's just to say it's down and it's down, and food by itself is down greater than anything else, I don't know that I would say that.
Okay. Is there anything you've done in particular to boost your food sales?
Well, I think if you stop and think about why people have a break room and what they're there for and what the experience needs to be, what we've focused on First off, we do annual meetings and focus groups with our customers, and so this is always a topic of conversation. What do you like? What don't you like? Here, try these new items. And so from that, we went back and we've really improved the quality of our food. We took all of our light bread sandwiches, if you will, and we've added about another 33% more meat. We've gone back and analyzed our burgers, and you know, we came up with we said, okay, here's what's available to us, what's the best, and we've come back with 100% beef burgers. We've gone back and we're smoking our own barbecue now using a wood chips and our own flavors and doing a pulled pork. We took from that, they wanted more, we even take our fried chicken, which everybody loves, and we package it in our vend and do it that way. So from the focus group meetings and from listening to the marketplace and what they said, plus from the technology and keeping up with everything on a line item basis, what we've seen is if we listen to the customer, provide them a great quality, fresh item, nothing imitation, just straightforward, and then package it in a way, I mean, we've gone to packaging all the condiments inside of our, the idea. So how to make that experience better, how to get a better tasting, better item, fully all of it there, and then market it and put, you know, new stickers on it or special or low or whatever. I think we've been able to reduce our sales by 49% and to see the growth of the fresh food part of our business in just in where we still have it.
Okay. Have you introduced cashless payment options to your food machines?
We have. Roughly right now, 50% of our food machines have cashless on them, and that was part of it. But, you know, one other thing before cashless, though, Elliot, one of the things that we did was we identified and categorized our food machine from high volume to mid volume to low volume. And we took and we basically, inside of that, our menu for the week, and every week we don't have these four-week rotating menus. Here's items, here's how they're coming out. What we did there was we said, okay, the high volume get 100% all fresh food and other mixtures of what they want, whether it be milk or other items, some frozen items in there based on what they want. And then the mid-level would be beverage, shelf-stable, frozen, and some fresh. And then the low end of it would be no fresh food. It would be all shelf-stable, frozen, and beverage. So when we broke out and you look in the marketplace through downsizing and said, okay, yeah, these guys are just tearing up food. There's no sales. We just run through it as fast as we possibly can. That's a high volume. If we get into it and we're seeing sales at about 20% and they're doing 20 to 25 items a day or less, then we put that in the mid category. And then we had a low category and said, okay, we got a stale problem here and we're not getting much tonnage. So there's some other technology and thought process behind what we did to move that forward. And then we've got a huge initiative on cashless. Currently, we're at 50% of the machines are at cashless. And what we've seen there is really amazing in the dollar spend. If I have a food machine that doesn't have cashless, and remember, that's probably going to be at a lower volume location anyway, but they don't have cashless, the average spend is about $1.20. If I have cashless in the other location, the average spend is about $1.90. I mean, I'm not missing it by many pennies there. I can give you the exact numbers. It's $1.19 in one, it's $1.89 in the other. So, I mean, if you stop and look at what cashless has meant to the fresh food side of our business, it creates more accessibility.
Have you tried making any machines exclusively cashless?
No. I mean, you know, if you think about the philosophy on that, Elliot, it's the philosophy should be what's in your pocket needs to work in our machines. So, you know, if I did that, then anybody who came up with cash would be excluded.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, we don't need to be running people off. We need to be trying bringing people in.
Okay. Do you know about what percentage of your food sales in machines that have cashless are cashless sales?
That's a hard number. If I go back, and the reason I say that is because we put about 100 of them out up through the first quarter of this year, and we did a study on that. But in the last two or three months, We put out, we'll have 500 as of, probably within the next week, we'll have placed 500 cashless. So many of these things are new. And what you find in cashless is, if I put it in January, it'll be 0%, and then February maybe 1, March maybe 2, April maybe 3, 4, 5. You just watch it, it just continues to grow. I see as high as 47 to 50%. Down to some of them are just started. So, I mean, as high as 50% in some locations is swiping a card.
Uh-huh.
And I have some of them. You put them in and right out of the gate, 30, 35% of it becomes cashless and cards.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Just depends on where you put them.
Okay. John Martin, as a supplier of fresh food in the Southeast, are you seeing some vending operators having more success than others? And if so, how?
Yes. I see it actually clearly in some, and the ones that, and to answer the how, is some of the operators are taking it upon themselves to, in my opinion, wake up and realize that food literally can be a profitable segment of their overall business, and a way that some of them are doing it is basically using just getting back to the basics, I hate to say this or sound ridiculous, but like marketing 101. I mean, you know, how do you get, just Vic said, you know, you want to get people in, not out, but how do you get people to go up to your machine, make a purchase? Well, you've got to do some type of, you got to utilize POS material, you've got to run marketing promotions, any of the above in that vein to get the attention and to grasp the attention, to get that person that you lost a year ago to get back to that machine and start buying again. There's other many other aspects to this, but to just give you a simple, quick, off-the-cuff answer, it has to do with marketing and promotions. And for the ones that are taking the initiative to do that, that's where they're picking up some business, incremental business that they wouldn't ordinarily have. You have to reintroduce people to get back to your vending machines. I think it was Vic a minute ago that used the term vending food, or it could have been you, Elliot. Vending food has improved dramatically over the years, and I'm quoting Vic again by using the word quality. That's another big important factor is, you know, the more you can improve your quality via your selection, then that's going to improve it dramatically as well.
Uh-huh.
Now, it's basically getting back to just doing some simple, basic marketing of your product.
And given the fact that we're in a recession and consumers are more value conscious, shouldn't the vending operator actually be gaining food sales at the expense of the other retail outlets because of the increased value the vending operator offers?
Very good question, Elliot. I see it in a lot of areas. It's sort of a pocket thing. It's not straight across the board, but it depends on the geographical locations, the as far as, you know, what's nearby a particular, say, a plant with a couple of break rooms. If there's, you know, fast food restaurants nearby, those are the ones that have the chances of not showing those types of increases for those reasons. However, if there are more isolated, the cost of gasoline to get in the car, to go down to the local whatever restaurant to get something to eat, if a lot of these places have rediscovered, again, I'm using the words again, rediscovering and reintroducing, rediscovering that, you know, what they have in their food machines, whether it's a White Castle product or a Sunburst Foods product or whatever, they realize, hey, this is a quality product in here. I think I'm just going to, you know, save my time, save the gas, and also save money by buying products at a good quality value price right out of the machine.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, Vic, John talks a lot about the importance of point-of-sale materials. Do you find as an operator that you have access to good point-of-sale materials?
No.
So you could use some help in that area.
Well, I mean, we've used, you're familiar with Jackie Clark and her group. We use some of hers. We've got some marketing people. I've got a director of marketing that does a lot of POS for us. They also do newsletters and things like that. So, Yeah, I don't know that I could use it. I just think it's just not available. I mean, the fact is, when you go look at machines, they're pretty generic, and there's nothing exciting to create a sizzle there. With the cashless, we've designed a special arrow with some information available to the customer to help him understand cashless and then know it's there. For the fresh food items, using just new stickers, things like that, and a labeling program that's attractive and packaging that's attractive. I think it's a whole process. But to John's point, we've got to get them off of, it's not vended food. This is, I tell people our food is fresher than their refrigerator.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel that the food suppliers could be offering more point-of-sale material?
Well, White Castle and or somebody who does contract food, making food for the people, probably does that. Since I produce it myself, I'd be going to Performance Food Group or Sysco or someone like that, and they really don't. I mean, I'm the one producing the food. They bring the ingredients,
uh-huh.
and we produce our food. So, yeah, I think it's up to me to produce it and understand the value of it and how do I market it.
Okay.
But remember, taste is what this is all about.
Uh-huh.
At the end of the day, if you don't have great-tasting food, you can package it, promote it, do whatever you want to do with it. They're coming back because they like it.
Okay. And do you feel, as a vending operator, that you're offering something that's competitive with the retailers?
Oh, by far. By far. I mean, you use a comparative of the C-stores or quick service or those kind of areas. I mean, quick service has really worked hard to try and bring their quality up and try and get their message up. And I think where quick service wins over us is the sizzle. Buy this for a dollar. Hey, we've reduced the price on this. Here's a value package. Get two of these for this. I think they've done a better job in that type of marketing and promotion than we have, and we need to get better at that. But, I think that quite honestly, if you take our food and set it right down next to going against C-store food or even McDonald's, Hardee's, those kind of guys, which is where we get a lot of ideas from, we win all the time on the quality and the value price of it, of what we're selling.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, I think we're winding down. Let me just ask some final thoughts. Coming back to Vicki at White Castle. Vicki, are you optimistic about the vending industry's future?
Oh, absolutely. As a manufacturer, as Vic was just saying, we do produce point-of-sale materials for vendors out there and operators. So we do have those things available. I'm very positive about it. I think that there's a lot of things. I'm sitting on a fence there where we are a restaurant company as well as a frozen food company, and there's a lot of challenges for the food industry right now, period. But Vic is correct. I think you have to have a quality product. I know that our hamburgers and cheeseburgers are our staple item, but we also have chicken sandwich, we have breakfast sandwiches, and different things like that. And I know that we're continually looking at those products, and with all of the discussions on obesity and salt and all of those things, we're constantly looking at making sure that our product has been improved, or we can lower the salt intake, or whatever it may be. So from a manufacturer standpoint, I think the manufacturers need to continue to work on those items. And as far as the vending industry, I'm very positive about them. I've seen a lot of equipment that I was very impressed with this at the one show. As time goes on, I think that equipment, when we were talking about things to bring people in, I saw some equipment that had almost like TV commercials on it that brought your attention to the machines and those kinds of things. I'm definitely very, very positive about it. And I agree with Vic. I think the quality of the products have, over the last several years, improved dramatically. So I think as time goes on, there's going to be new opportunities and new places for the vending machines. And I'm very upbeat about it.
Okay, that's good to hear. John Martin of Sunburst Foods, are you optimistic or pessimistic about the future?
Well, I think I'm a bit of both. Again, I look at geographics, and I cover quite a large area in the Southeast. Some areas have been hit harder than others, particularly in the central part of North Carolina, where furniture was such a huge, huge vending break room attraction. And a lot of that business has gone and has left, and I don't think I'll see it come back in my lifetime. That is an area that and reason that I feel a little pessimistic. We have got to get the backbone of vending back to work, and that is that's factories. I don't care where you are. That's a fact. That's a simple fact. But, you know, getting back again to make another comment about quality, quality of food out there today is by far superior than what it was as short as 10 years ago. But taking that one step further, I think, too, as a food producer, and I'm sure that Vicky will agree, I think food safety at the production level is becoming more and more and more important, more so than ever, and that's something that Sunburst Foods has really got covered very well. Now that we're entering into doing entrees, now we have worked very diligently and very hard to get this accomplished, but we are now USDA certified with anything having an entree having anything to do with any type of meat or meat sauce in it. We do have that stamp on our products now, which kind of sets us a little bit apart from some of our competitors, simply because we have gone that way. A lot of people do it. Some people elect not to. We just elected to do it simply because it was a step in the right direction for Sunburst Foods. But I'm both optimistic and I'm also pessimistic. The jury's out, so to speak, for me. I'm trying to look at things realistically. I've been around for a long time, a lot of years, and I've seen some ups and downs. I've been through a few recessions myself. I remember the 81-82 was a pretty rough one. However, we survived it. But this time, the banking and financial industry was more so involved more in this one than before, and that's what I think has really, really, really hurt us. And so, obviously, this NAFTA thing has really hurt manufacturing in this country. So, you know, I'm optimistic in the fact that we're doing what we can with what we have, and we've got to grow it from where we are. We've got to get back to being sustainable again as far as getting a really good base for our vending operators.
Okay. Vic Pemberton, optimistic or pessimistic?
Yes. You know, I'm listening to John, and
pardon me, man, I didn't mean to laugh. I loved it though.
I definitely look at the environment that's out there, and you know, I like it when things get tough because it's tough for my competitors. I think our market's shrinking. It's easily, you know, unemployment's realistically 15-16%. That means we got 16% less people out there to take care of, and sure, I may be up a little bit, and the next guy's down a bunch. And so I think that what's happening out there in the marketplace is it's getting uglier and tougher, and there's less of it. So if you think of taking products to points of traffic and being a distribution business, I think it's going to be a tough road to hoe. I think I agree totally with John. I mean, what we've done to manufacturing in America is a disaster. Whoever was involved in that whole process, I don't know what I would do to them. I live in the South, so it's a little different than other places. But I tell you, it's crazy what it's done to us. I'm optimistic from the standpoint of what we've invested in technology and systems, the philosophy that we bring from going from the marketplace back to my warehouse instead of filling up my warehouse and then my trucks and trying to sell it in the marketplace and actually putting out there. So I think I'm optimistic for Pepe. I'm excited about where we're headed and the things we're working on. Even in the fresh food area, we're going through the HACCP training. John, you probably went through all that certification.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly all about it. Yep, sure do.
And so we're in the midst of all doing those kind of things. So I'm excited about having tough challenges and coming to the table and trying to work through them. And I guess I would be pessimistic because the people that we know and love won't be here. A lot of the people that we know and love won't make it. They just, to your point about financial or whatever, I mean, it's that difficult out there for people to make it. And so, yes, I'm excited and optimistic. And, yes, I'm I have some pessimistic and negative sides to it, too.
Okay. Well, I think we've gotten a sobering assessment here of some of the things we have to work on. So with that, hopefully our readers and listeners have learned some things and have some things to think about. And that wraps up the podcast. Thank you all.